The following program is sponsored by Linda's Construction. This is the WCCO Home Improvement Show, brought to you by Linda's Construction. One call, one contractor. Linda's Construction provides Minnesota and Wisconsin with the best products and workmanship. They provide leaf guard gutters, asphalt roofing, metal roofing, season guard replacement windows, exterior siding, remodeling, new construction, and more. If you've got questions, they've got answers this hour. Here's Denny Long and Andy Lindis.
Yes, indeed. Welcoming your phone calls and text messages related to home improvement. The lines are cleared now from last hour. And if you want to use the phone to talk to Andy Lindis, by all means, 651-989-9226. Or if you want to send in your home improvement question via text, that number is 81807. Morning, Andy. How you doing?
Fantastic. You?
I'm doing well, too. I'm looking at the, as you know, three above now. I mean, it's a heat wave. Three above.
I know.
Your crews might even be getting out and working, doing some jobs today. Maybe they already are.
They are. You know, with all this snow, as you can imagine, my snow removal requests have gone through the roof.
Oh, so pardon the expression.
Yeah, pardon the expression. They are. I'm trying to get some more guys out to my house to help out this week on a couple of things to finish up in my garage, thinking that the weather's going to be bad enough. But they were so busy. They are out there working today. The steamers are booked up pretty solid. The amount of ice dams people are experiencing. Leaking in attics. Was at one house where water was coming down the walls, in the doors, in the windows. The ice dam was darn near roof to ground. You know, where the icicles came down that far. And went up about 4 feet up on the roof. It was some nasty stuff. That cold weather leading to the stack effect in the houses with that much snow, and then it got warm and then cold again. It's like the perfect little recipe for really bad things to happen on your roof.
You know, I don't think I've ever asked you this. I've seen the guys do that kind of work, but explain to our listeners what the process is for those using the steam. How does that whole thing work up there?
Well, We use the low pressure steam because don't use the pressure washers.
Yeah.
That just puts too much water out in the area. I've seen some. Once you make a mistake like that and you have that much water, it's you're waiting till spring to really get things thawed out and good. So we use a low pressure steam, but first we want to remove as much snow from the roof as we possibly can, and our guys are well trained on it. Our safety guy is with these crews all the time, talking to them about how to tie off, what the safe spot is. They talk about how to get up on the roof. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not an easy job.
I
it's
bet not,
not something I would recommend to most people. But we want to get as much of the snow off the roof as we possibly can, and then we're going to bring that low-pressure steam up and maybe not remove the entire ice dam, but we're going to create channels in that ice dam. You know, it's all, you know, based on how many hours we're on the job. So the faster we get out of there, the less expensive it's going to be for our customers. And believe me, no one's getting rich doing snow removal. We even talked that we might just only offer it to past customers as just a way of helping them because but we just want to get a channel on the ice just to make sure that water, if there is standing water behind that ice, it's able to come out. And that's what we're seeing a lot. So you got a whole bunch of snow. Underneath that snow is ice. And that snow is melting, and it's actually insulating the standing water behind there so that some of that water is not freezing as fast or turning into ice. So that standing water is finding every little nook and cranny and crevice to actually get into your house. And that's what causes the damage. Add that onto the top of the amount of frost because of the polar vortex a couple weeks ago in attics, and people are really having some issues. I'm hearing a lot of, you know, I've never had this happen on my house before. I've never seen this before. Well, we've never had this much snow fall right after a polar vortex, and what was that? That was the coldest temperatures in 20-some-odd years, so it's...
Plus all the snow, snowfalls for the month of Feb.
It's not usual for us to be experiencing what we experienced in February, but it's part of where we are.
Yep.
We got to bust out the shovels and work a little harder. We've been been snow removal kings here for a while, and we'll keep on going, and hopefully we don't have to deal with much more snow.
Spring around the corner, they say. That's what they're saying.
Well, let's hope so.
Let's go to the phones. Andy, Jack is calling from White Bear, I think. Jack, go ahead. You're on with CCO with Andy.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for taking the call. I live in White Bear. I have a 35-year-old house, and it's fairly obvious where we have vaulted ceilings. Wherever the vaulted ceilings are, I've got icicles hanging all over the place.
Yeah.
The regular part of the house is insulated properly. I've got a lot of ceiling lights, those cans that are buried in this vaulted ceiling. How do you guys seal around those cans so the heat doesn't go up? Because obviously they didn't do a whole lot of insulation on this vaulted ceiling.
Yeah. It's not a cheap project, but this is a project that we tackle on a pretty regular basis. And when we do it the way we want to do it, the right way, we've had really good luck. And that is actually pulling up the roof. Pulling up the roof deck. We're going to get in with our Thermex boxes over your can lights, seal them up. Then we're going to put some spray foam in there. And then we're going to dense pack any of the rest of the cavity with cellulose, creating a hot roof where it's not ventilated at all, but it's completely full with either spray foam, which is sealing up any air coming up through there. And over the top of that spray foam, our cellulose, put the redeck on there. And then we're actually going to put on 1x4 strips and put another deck on. And then we're going to put a fascia vent on. So there's actually a barrier of air between your roof deck, the cellulose, the spray foam, and your ceiling. And when we do that, we get rid of ice dams. Anything short of that, I haven't had 100% luck of getting rid of ice dams. Even that little putting that air gap and having airflow from the fascia, because there is no soffit, and you can't get it like a soffit vent in where there's no getting attic chutes to vent that area. You have to create a kind of a false roof deck that is allowing air to flow from the fascia up and out the ridge. So if you do have any type of heat escape, it's going up and out the ridge before it really has a chance to melt any snow.
All right, very good. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate that. Andy, we need to take a quick break, so hang on. We'll do that, inviting our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, call it in or text it in. Here's the phone number, 651-989-9226. Text is the usual one, 81807. And welcome back to our Home Improvement Show, presented every week by our friends at Lindis Construction. Andy Lindis, of course, with me today. 651-989-9226. Send a text, 81807. Andy, somebody sent a text in a bit ago saying, let's see, in the last couple of years, we had Lindis replace our roof, and at that time, they installed a ridge vent. Well, with all the snow we've had, will there be a problem with ventilation since the ridge vent is covered with snow? You guys put that on my house, too. I don't see an issue with that. Should there be? Hold on, Andy. There you go.
Yep, sorry. No, the ridge vent that that we install, that's going to be able to vent through the snow. I wouldn't worry about that. And typically at the peak of the roof is where the least amount of the snow is as well. So it's usually not an issue. In fact, of all of the roof jobs I've been on, and I can't recall that being an issue a single time, to be honest with you.
No, me neither.
So I wouldn't worry about that at all.
Let's see, another tip. By the way, text number 81807. Let's go back to the phones. Is Brad on the line? Go ahead, Brad. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, I have some kids in Hutchinson that have a 1950s, mid-50s Rambler houses, and the houses are sheathed in sheetrock, and then they have some fiber siding on or wood, and there's nothing to tack onto when you want to put steel shingles on, you know, where the garage roof meets the house, or if you got something a little bit loose, you have to go up in the attic or something and find studding and block it in some more. But I was wondering what the history was on that, and then the one needs windows, so should a person strip everything down and even take the sheetrock off and get at the insulation and stuff, or try to blow in some more insulation and maybe put half-inch plywood over the top or chipboard and start all over again when
so
you
it's
do
got
the windows
built,
and stuff.
I'm guessing there's built right on the outside for exterior sheathing?
It's a fiberboard sheeting that's on there. I mean, that siding that's on there now.
Okay, what is it for sheeting that's on there?
It's a sheetrock. You go up in the attic and you look at it, and it's sheetrock. I don't know if there's exterior grade sheetrock that they use, but have you ever run into that?
On one of the old Ramblers in Hudson, no. Sheetrock on the exterior. I mean, I've seen like some of the commercial places have what looks to be like sheetrock, but.
I was trying to tack down the tails with some sidings, and I couldn't hit anything. Then I went up in the attic and looked, and it was just solid sheetrock all the way up to the peaks and stuff. There's nothing you could do about it. And then when you try to work the windows and stuff, too, there's nothing to nail on and stuff. But I don't know how they got it on without it not getting completely wet. But it must be a housing company that came in and built these places like that. But trying to figure out how to, you know, make it right now or how to work with it.
Hmm. And we've done a lot of work in Hudson, and to be 100% honest with you, I don't recall ever finding sheetrock on the house for exterior sheathing.
There's, maybe Brad or someone, his son, could send a picture. Just
I'd love to see that, or just contact us with the address, and I'd get up in the attic and take a look at it myself. I'm curious more than anything, and but yeah, not being able to have anything to nail to would be an issue. Back to your other question about windows, though. I don't know about insulating the exterior walls without pulling off the sheathing. I'm still not 100% sold on that. I've seen some voids, and sometimes you can create more damage than good. There's things that you can do with sealing up the outside of the house that can be a little bit better, but I would start with replacing the windows, and when you got down to replacing the siding on the outside, that's when I would maybe look at insulating or adding some foam on the exterior of the house. But if you're going to be doing siding or anything like that, and you've got sheetrock you're going to be nailing stuff to, that's going to have to be replaced. But there's got to be something else going on there. I'm very curious about this. I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
1-800-LeafGuard or lindisinstruction.com, and we'll gladly come out and give you some advice.
Brad, that's 1-800-LeafGuard or Lindus Construction, lindusco.com. LINDUS is the company. Thanks, Brad. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what you guys come up with. Steve is calling, I believe, from Delano. Steve, you are on CCO with Andy Lindus. Go ahead, Steve.
Very good. I appreciate you guys doing this. We've got about a 1960s Rambler house, about 30 by 65, with a hip roof. 12 years ago, the contractor put an addition on, so that if you're looking at it from above now, it appears to be an L-shaped home. Where the new roof addition goes over top of the existing roof was a dead air space. The guy put insulation above the shingles and that old over the top of the old roof and vented that space with a vent on each side of the hip roof. The extreme cold we had a few weeks ago, apparently some moisture collected up there because we've got a doorway connecting the new addition to the existing house, and in the middle of that doorway we had water dripping down. Is there any other types of ventilation we can do to improve the prevent the frost from building up in that area?
Well, it's probably more of a attic air sealing issue than a ventilation issue would be my guess. In fact, adding some more ventilation to this could make it worse, because what you need to get rid of is, why is the frost getting up into the attic? Where is the hot air getting into the cold space that is causing the frost, which eventually when that frost leaks or melts is what you're seeing leak right there. So that's where I would want to start. And it's probably somewhere in the transition from the new house to the old house to the new addition, what went on there. But I would get somebody that knows what they're talking about when it comes to insulation out and talk about attic air sealing in that area and see what we can do to lock off any of the warm air from getting into that attic space. Ventilating it properly might get a bit of a chance to get it, get that warm air out in the right spot. But what it also could do is make your attic a colder space, essentially making it easier to frost up. So I would be careful about that until I knew exactly what was going on or where that warm air was coming from.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you, Steve. Good luck with that. Andy, we need to take our usual break, as you can see. We'll have another half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. In fact, there is a line open if you have a home improvement question. You want to phone in to Andy, 651 651-989-9226. Again, 651-989-9226. Or send us a text if that's easier. And we'll get back to the text screen, too, in a moment when we come back after a break. We'll look at that forecast, too. By the way, text number 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to our home improvement show with our friend Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. If you want to ask Andy a question via phone, 651-989-9226. There is a line open if you want to use it. Or send a text if that's easier. And we have a bunch of those, 81807. Okay, Andy, where did we leave off here? Here's one. What are the, if you could answer this, what are the limitations of spray foam? Are there best temperature ranges that it should be done? Too cold, too hot? And I assume all existing insulation will blend with ventilation since the ridge vent is covered with snow. I'm sure this is another. No, I'm sure this is the existing insulation. This is another text. Will be removed first. He or she is talking about an attic area. So are there limitations of the spray foam, Andy? Temperature wise.
Well, they came out with some new stuff that you can do in pretty cold weather, but typically we want to be around a little bit above freezing when we're installing it. But they make some, I believe, that you can install as low as 10 degrees now. But we have not used that at all.
Okay.
Yet. So we usually want to have some kind of condition in place. And if there is no heat there, we have temporary heat that we can bring in and make that happen.
Okay. Again, 81807 if you want to send in your home improvement question by text. A related one, Andy, how do we know, if we do, that spray foam isn't going to turn out to be like asbestos where now we have to remove all of it? I mean, is this stuff tested? I'm sure it must be this day and age.
Well, the technology, believe it or not, is much better now than it was in the 50s when they were doing a lot of asbestos. What was it, the late 70s, I believe, when they stopped using it, early 70s? We run into that a lot, and it is pretty expensive to get rid of asbestos, especially if vermiculite, I should say, especially if that vermiculite tests positive for asbestos. And that's what... That's typically what we run into in the Twin Cities. It's a 50-50 proposition if it's going to test positive, depending on which mine that asbestos or that vermiculite came from, whether or not it's going to test positive for asbestos. And it's not a cheap thing to remove. And I know it's burned a couple of people. And it is a worry on all building products. Been in this industry long enough that we've seen things come and go, and we've seen class action lawsuits against manufacturers. We've seen things fail. That's the biggest reason why I put all this stuff in my own house. Why I have so many different types of windows and doors and decking and siding and roofing and all the different types of insulation. It's all at my house so I can see how it works and what's happening and what I like and don't like about it. And there are some worries with spray foam when we initially put it in. You have to vacate the area as it cures. There's some fumes that you have to worry about. But after that, it is very safe. And not only is it very safe, it's the best thing you can do to your attic. It really does make a big, big difference. And if I was really worried about it, I wouldn't be putting it in my own stuff.
We've had such good luck ever since Lindis did that over the last few years that I can't believe the efficiency. What it has saved in energy, both heating and cooling. I mean, both easily.
Yeah, what it does for tightening up a house and how much less your furnace actually has to work and it just everything quality of your home just goes up with it. The comfort level of your home goes up, and it's just a fantastic product that we have really, really good luck with.
Absolutely. 651-989-9226. You want to call in your home improvement question, or again, if it's easier, send Andy a text, 81807. Here is another text. I have two small rooms that I have fixed leaking pipes in the ceiling, laundry in the small half bath. Replace the sheetrock. How easy is it to replace knockdown ceiling texture? I've tried the canned stuff, and it did not match. How easy is it to do with a rental sprayer? Have you done that, Andy? A knockdown. First of all, explain what that is.
Well, it's like what you're going to see with like the popcorn ceiling, or
it's got a flatter dimension.
Yeah, it's got a flatter. It's not. It doesn't have like the peaks of the of like what a popcorn ceiling is going to be. And in my experience is you need to do the whole room. There's no patching that texture in and making it look right unless you get the right texture and then paint the entire room. I've seen that look okay. Maybe you're going to paint the entire ceiling, but you shouldn't. Depending on how big the room is, I might, you know, spray it all down, scrape it, and do the knockdown on the entire thing and call it good. But if you're going to paint the entire thing, you might be able to get texture right and go from there.
I did not get in a text. It was an email about midweek. I don't have it in front of me. But somebody wanted you to address the steel roofing. We haven't talked about that for a while. I know Linda still does that. But talk a little bit about that, pluses, if there are any minuses, because I know we've got some great asphalt shingles that are just phenomenal. But what about steel roofing? Is that still popular for some areas?
Yeah, my steel roofing guys have been booked up pretty solid.
Really?
For 5 years straight now. That machine is going nonstop. It's not going right now. This cold weather is not easy on equipment either. So we had an axle break on our machine trailer last week, but my two mechanics are on it, and they got us out of the weigh station and back to the shop, and hopefully next week we're back up and running with our metal roofing. But there's some benefits to it, especially when it comes to snow. It really does a good job of getting the snow off the roof. There's some benefits when it comes to aesthetics too that people like. We did one earlier this year that turned out really neat. It was a thicker steel we got from Englert. That's the same people that manufacture our leaf guard coil.
Oh, yeah.
And it was galvanized, and it had a little bit of rust in it as well. And I was a little skeptical at first, but it turned out really good. Certain applications where this makes a lot of sense. Certain places it doesn't. Questions we get all the time, is it louder than an asphalt roof? No. What's the warranty? It has a lifetime warranty on all aspects outside of the finish. The finish only has a 35-year warranty, so which is a pretty long finish warranty. So worst-case scenario, you got to paint it in 35 years, but the steel itself is guaranteed for life, and we've had a lot of really good luck with our steel roofing over the years, but it is still quite a bit more expensive than asphalt roofing, and that's why most people still choose the GAF asphalt option, but the option for steel is there if they want.
All right. And what makes it quieter? I think some folks are used to pole barns or something with metal roofing, but this, what makes it quieter?
Well, it's going over the top of roof sheathing, and underneath that is typically insulation. And when you're in a pole barn, when it's just metal on top of rafters, that's going to be very, very loud. One of those hailstorms that came through, 2008, I happened to be with a customer in a pole barn when some of it came through, and that was about as loud as I've ever experienced inside of a building. It was crazy, but I have lots of buildings with metal roof on it, and it's no louder than asphalt on a normal house.
That's good to know. All right, as you can see, Andy, we have callers too. Shirley is calling from Brooklyn Center, I believe. Shirley, you're on with Andy.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 60-year-old west-facing house where the bottom part of it is brick. And I have a planter that juts out front on the front steps, and the facing on that is chipping off in pieces of about like 2 inches by 2 inches and so forth. I'm wondering how we could put these little pieces back on, and if it's something we could do now or have to wait until summer when it's warmer.
The planter is made out of brick as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's about maybe 14 inches across the house, and then it juts out the length of the step about 3 feet.
Okay. Well, it'd be one thing if these chips are happening because it was hit with something, you know. Maybe you're sitting up a ladder and it fell over and it hit that, and that chip happened because of that, some type of impact. And then you could maybe glue that chip back on, and only you would notice the crack on there. But if the chips are happening because of deteriorating brick, there's really no gluing that back on, because it's something's going on with the brick that's going to make it chip again or fall apart again. I wonder if there's some moisture getting behind there. Could have been a big thing with the frost. It could have been with the pressure. It could have been a couple of different things, but I don't know, Denny. I've never seen anybody have really good luck putting a brick back together.
Well, no, and especially in this weather. I mean, you're obviously going to have some kind of a stonemason, or if you can find a good artist, to take a look in the warmer weather, at least for starters, and then go from there.
But I would start now because masons are not.
Yeah.
If you know any kids that are really wanting to get in the trades, I'd encourage a mason. There's a very big need for it out there, and we book up a mason pretty solid all year round.
And
imagine the amount of chimneys that we get into and see, and then couple that with anybody that wants to do any stonework along the bottom of the wall. And there's a reason why that, like Rosetta Stone and stuff like that, that doesn't need a mortar or doesn't really need a bricklayer to put it on. It just gets screwed on the house is a very popular thing, because the guys that do that type of work are getting rarer, and it's unfortunate because it really is an artwork. And I've done some cool things with masons that really, out of a $50,000 project, it might have been $5,000 of the total project, but that's the part that really makes it pop.
Yes,
there's some things masons do that are needed, so we're always on the lookout for good ones, and we're fortunate that we have a couple good ones we work with right now.
Well, not only the masons, but the rest of the trades as well. I mean, you can make a real good living that way. Real good.
Yeah. I struggle to find a better way for a kid to get to that $50,000 to $100,000 faster than going into the trades.
Yeah.
And especially cheaper than what most colleges are going to charge you. It's it's not easy work.
That's true. That's the other side of it. Especially that.
I'm telling you. My life, though, Denny, with, you know, we have 160 people almost here out of Lindis Instruction, and my life on job sites isn't as much as it used to be. And this time of year and working on some of my own stuff, I really start to remember how fun it is to be on job sites and be with the crews and be with the guys, and you get to see what you accomplish every day. And then the finished products can be pretty cool. And you get to meet different people all the time. So it can be a really fun job, but it is a physically demanding job. But usually it's the guys that get into it do very well for themselves and can make a very good living at it. And I encourage a lot of young people to do it.
Very good. Want to alert Mike and Gary, you're going to be next here. We'll have to take a quick break. So don't go away. And if you have a question you want to send via text, 81807, or call us, 651-989-9226. Back in a moment. And welcome back to our Home Improvement Show, presented every week by Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S, 1-800-LEAF-CARD. If you want to get in touch with those good folks, Andy Lindus is with me today as usual. Andy, we have callers and texters. Let's get to it before we run out of time. Mike in Minneapolis is first up here. Mike, go ahead with your question for Andy.
I'm in the market for windows, Andy, and I'm looking around, and I know you have Marvin Infinity, the Season Guard, and I know there's Anderson out there, and everybody's running sales right now and everything like that. And I guess I'm also looking at something called soft light windows, and I don't know if you can just give me a comparison of these windows, or I know some are triple pane, some are double pane, and, you know, I guess that's some brief information about those.
Hmm. You know anything about that, Andy? Are you there, Andy?
Yep. Okay. I'm here. Has he got an estimate by any of these people yet?
Working on them, yes.
Have we come out and give you an estimate yet?
Yes.
All right, cool. I can get any window under the sun to put in a house, and I can use almost any manufacturer that I choose. And there's a big reason why I use Marvin Infinity and our Season Guard window is because I don't like callbacks and service work. And out of all the windows I have in my house, those two perform the absolute best. They're very similar in a lot of different numbers and readings on inside temperature of glass and things of that nature. But if I had to lean one way or the other over those two windows, I still lean Season Guard. We've had really good luck with that window. And when I picked that window manufacturer to make our Season Guard window, I talked to 17 different window manufacturers, including Softlight at the time, to be our exclusive window. And I chose Season Guard because of how it's made and the thin frame and the fiberglass reinforcement and the foam in the frame. And most importantly, the air infiltration rating, which is unrivaled of any other window that I've worked with. So it really is a better window. And most importantly, the guys installing it are as good as it gets in this industry. I get more positive reviews about my installation department when it comes to windows than any other department I have. And we get lots of positive reviews all around. And Denny, you can attest, we've put those windows in your house. And it was a pretty big difference between that window and the window that was in there before and some of the other windows you might have in your house.
Such quality build and never any, what is the word I'm looking for, condensation. It's quieter. And, you know, another thing that for an interior, somebody who's looking to keep the interior, I've bragged about this before with you guys can do some of the best finishing work I've ever seen on trim.
Yeah. Yeah. Finishing off the windows is a big, big part. And how they get insulated when they get installed is also a big part. But that interior trim and the wood trim, it is. And I don't care what window you're choosing for your home. Make sure that you do. I do less windows and full frame installation than I would do an entire house with inserts. Inserts are, in my eyes, outside of the absoluteness. Like, you can't do it any other way. There's a reason why 98% of the windows that we installed last year, which we installed more windows in the Twin Cities Metro than almost any other contractor out there, almost 98% of the ones that we did were full frame installation, where we're doing siding work, we're doing trim work, we're doing all of the air infiltration, water infiltration things that we need to do to make sure that it is a lifetime window.
They're such great products. Go for it, Mike. 1-800-LEAF-GUARD. You've already had the Lindis folks out there. So thanks for the call. Gary, in the meanwhile, is calling from Burnsville. Gary, you're on with Andy.
Good morning.
Morning.
Had a house built in 87 by Novak Flex. And after about 10 years, my neighbor behind me came and said, "You never have any snow on your roof. You should check your insulation."
Yeah.
There was absolutely no insulation. So I called Novak Flex, and the guy called me a liar over the phone. And he wound up coming out and apologizing to me and putting insulation in. Well, after I got all the insulation in, I noticed that we have a lot of condensation on the windows now. And I really don't know what's causing that. We have skylights, and they're starting to kind of turn black around the top there.
We'll probably tighten up the house a little bit so some of that water vapor is not escaping up into the attic. You probably are getting frost in your attic before and you didn't even know it. Would be my guess. Have you had the humidity level checked in your home?
Have you had the humidity level checked, Gary?
No, I haven't.
I would start there. And remember, when it's this cold out, we want to be under 30%. And when we're in the below 10 below range, under 20%, I think, is what's recommended. And I've been really surprised on the lack of frost. Well, one, I have infinity windows and Season Guard in my new shed. But with the cement poured in December, I'm rocking like 48% moisture humidity level in that shed as things are curing and losing their moisture, and I haven't had any real frost issues to worry about. So I've been really excited about that, and I've been anticipating it. Wondering, I look at it every day, thinking, say I got one of them weather readers that tells me the outdoor and indoor what's going on, and. And I look at that thing constantly, and I'm just amazed at how my humidity level inside the shed is. It's nuts. But a lot of it is, it's all brand new building materials, and it just takes a little bit for them to that first year, your moisture content in that house is going to be a little bit more than what it is going to be the rest of its life. So I'm dealing with it, and Luckily, the inside panes of my glass are warm enough. I haven't had to deal with any condensation yet.
Let's give a 30.
But yeah, it's something you want to address. If you're getting black on your skylights, they're going to be rotten here real quick.
30-second answer on this, Andy. Why am I getting icicles from the roof even though I have heating cables on it? This has never happened before.
You have heat escape, and heating cables are a Band-Aid over a wound that requires more than a Band-Aid, usually. Having said that, some heating cables strategically placed inside your gutters can maybe make a channel for the water to get out, but... Yeah, heat escape is why that's happening. And remember, heat cables do nothing to take away the ice dams. They just make the cause of the ice dams less.
Oh, okay. But they don't prevent them.
They do not prevent them at all. All they do is make a channel for the water to go out.
Before we let you out of here, Andy, what's the deal on windows and other things through Linda's Construction?
Right now, we have 50% off of labor on basically all things leaf guard, season guard windows, GAF asphalt roofing, and our skylights. And you want to see us at the River Center right now. You can see us there. Otherwise, I believe, is it next week?
Next week, the Home and Garden Show.
We're at the Home and Garden Show in the Minneapolis Convention Center. So we'll have two booths set up there. And if you can get down to St. Paul and figure out where to park down there with the mess that they have going on, glad to come see us at the River Center.
We're going to be visiting the Home and Garden Show. That's hard to believe that's around already. I think, next Friday, this coming Friday. So very good.
The winter is almost gone.
Almost gone. Andy, let's do this again next week. What do you say?
Yes, sir.
All right. More home improvement next week. Thanks to our friends Andy Lindis and Lindis Construction here on CCO.